What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 43, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. It is that time of year, so if you happen to use Amazon to purchase, you know, holiday gifts for your friends and family, it'd be greatly appreciated if you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon. That helps us out and definitely helps the podcast keep on going. With me this morning is Derek. What's up, Derek?
Not much. How you doing, Bob?
There's not a train coming through your house this week.
not today. Give it a minute.
That was perfect timing last week, I think.
And how are you?
If you missed last week's episode, we had just started the podcast, and that the train tracks are by your house, right? Or like close?
Yeah, they're nearby.
All I heard was this big like a train was going through Derek's house, but
I survived though. Yes. We
left it in the podcast, you know, so. I thought it was pretty funny, to be honest. So we left it in there. So if you guys want to check out last week's episode, you can go ahead and do that. But let's just jump right in, and we'll talk about reviews. Right. And you actually reviewed a case, and you typically don't review cases. You've only done a few. And you said that this case was one of the best cases you've ever worked with. One of the top cases you've ever worked with or anything like that. So the case was Fantex Enthu Evolve ATX, and why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so it is a mid-tower, but it's one of the most spacious mid-towers I've ever worked with. It's a Fantex case. It's the Evolve design, which is like this kind of stealth look. It's this, I don't know, you got to see it. It's difficult to describe. I tried to describe it in the review, and I had a little bit of trouble, but it's just hard lines and angles and stuff. So but it's got just a ton of space in it, like I said, which is nice because we actually got it for water cooling for our water cooling 101 series, and all that space inside is just going to give us all the freedom to do what we want. What I really liked about it though is just like the build quality. It's all aluminum on the exterior, so it's just like that feel of having a good metal on the outside, you know?
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed when I was reviewing the Fantex cases. Just even if they're steel, some of them, like, just the build quality in general is very well done. It's just a good fit and finish of the case, and that's one thing I really liked about the Fantex cases that I reviewed. They're just really well done, and there's not a lot of companies that do that anymore, it kind of seems, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they're just... I mean, you're getting these done in third world country almost, you know, and they're just pumping them out. So, but yeah, Fantex, the paint's good. The fit and finish is like perfect. You don't have like loose parts. One thing myself and like all the modders really enjoy is there's very few rivets. That means that the whole thing can all be taken apart by screws, which is good. It makes it a lot easier to do mods too. And then even if you don't want to, the thing about Fantex is that they almost pre-mod these cases for you. Like anything you can think of to do is almost done. There's a shelf in there that hides the power supply and the hard drives, which is getting to be pretty standard now. I know that. But, you know, that's just, it's a must-have thing. And so that keeps all the heat from that down below. It also hides all your cables.
Yep.
I put a full non-modular power supply in this, and I had no trouble with all the white
cabling. That's one thing I like about these too, is they have the Velcro ties built into the back of the case, and they have that big channel
really nice
back there. That's one thing I really like about Fantex cases too. It's like they just like, I think, you know, they know what people want as far as a case, and they kind of, like, especially enthusiasts and modders, like they know what you want and they know how it's going to function in the case. So they build it. They build the case that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's weird that like it's just now, like, because this is a relatively new company, right? They haven't put cases in the market for that long at all. But it's weird that it just took all this time to get to this level where like everything that we need is just done. Because in the past, it seems like every case, almost every case, something was like just off on it. You know, like it didn't work for what you would actually need it for. And I think that's weird that, like, it took this long, but now that they're doing it, it's awesome.
The thing you have to realize is a lot of these companies, especially the bigger ones, a lot of their case designs come from overseas. And they come from people who have years in industrial design and things like that. They're not specifically, you know, enthusiasts. They're not specifically, you know, they think of certain things or whatever, but it's not implemented as an enthusiast would implement it. And I think that the case designers at Fantex are those type of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When we meet with them and talk with them, these guys, they the PCs that they have built up there, they built them.
So you know? I think more companies are getting into that because they realize that, you know, if you want to build in a case, if you want to come out with a case for an enthusiast has to design it. And I think Fantex has done a great job. I think every case that we reviewed from them has been good. I don't think that there's been one where we're like, you know.
No, not one time.
So especially their Enthu Evolve series is just, every one of them has been awesome.
Yeah, and it is really, it's a really, really cool design.
How much is a case?
And this one is in the, I believe it's like 175.
Okay, but that's not completely,
that's not completely
horrible because it is aluminum.
Yeah, that's what drives your cost up, is all those aluminum panels.
It is.
This one's really cool. It's got the removable tray for the radiator on the top. It's got the 360.
I like that on the ITX version of this case. I really like that because especially in an ITX case, you don't have a whole lot of space. So having that just makes it so much easier.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to installing a 360 radiator up there for a custom loop and seeing how much it helps me with the install.
So we'll be using this case for our water cooling 101 series, which will be on part 3. Part 1 and 2 got a lot of feedback, and a lot of people really, really liked it. So you've done a good job on that. Surprisingly.
Thanks. There he goes. You can never never a full compliment. Know. There's always got to be some backhanded slight.
Did a really good job on this. But so we're pretty excited to get to the next one. We have, what, like 3 or 4 more articles coming out for that series over the next couple months or so. Please. Pretty pumped about that. We have everything in pretty much for that build. So you'll actually, instead of just talking about water cooling stuff, we'll be building it and putting it together for you. So definitely stay tuned for that coming up. But I'll talk about my reviews. And I took a look at the fastest. This doesn't sound super intriguing, I guess. But to me, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
It's the fastest USB flash drive that I've ever used. And this comes from Kingston. It's their HyperX Savage. It's a USB 3.1 flash drive. And I reviewed the 128 gigabyte version, which is kind of nice because it's a lot of storage in your pocket. And obviously, this uses USB 3.1, so it is extremely fast. 350 megabytes a second read and 250 megabytes a second write. So that's... Yeah, so I mean, really transferring, say, like 4K content or even playing 4K content from a flash drive is possible. And obviously, for that extreme speed, you do need USB 3.1 connection. But all of the new Skylake motherboards have a USB 3.1 connector on them. They should, at least. And all of the Skylake motherboards should have one. This is a Type A connection, so you don't have to worry about the little Type C. It's a great little flash drive. Good fit and finish too, because the thing about flash drives is they're in your pocket or whatever. They kind of, you know, have the tendency to get, you know, knocked around and everything like that. So really good fit and finish on this. It comes in 64, 128, and 256 gig versions. Just a great flash drive. I just like the speed of it. I mean, we're getting to that point where we have these really fast connections. And obviously, it's great to see Kingston come out with this in their HyperX line, which is their high-end enthusiast and gamer line.
I mean, for those that are doing this stuff, they know the pain of waiting for stuff to for files to transfer. So, like, this is seriously something that they will need.
You know, if you're moving large files, if you're, you know, doing certain things, you know, you can have a lot, very, very fast speed. That's one thing I really, really like about this drive. It is a plain drive. It doesn't come with any backup software or anything like that, but most people really don't use that software anyways, from, you know, my experience, you know. So
yeah,
it's just a good drive, man. I really like it. I forget the cost of the 128. I think it's like $80 or something.
Not bad.
I forget. It is $90, so that's not bad. Alrighty. And they do back it with, I believe, a five-year warranty, too. So, you know, this thing's going to last you a while.
So definitely a professional item. Sure.
And most of their HyperX line of products are backed by really good warranties anyways throughout the entire line. So 5 years on a flash drive is pretty good. So, nice. So, yeah, I took a look at that, and I took a look at a really awesome mouse. I took a look at the Mad Catz Pro S. It's the Rat Pro S. If you're a fan or you know of the Mad Catz Rat gaming mice, they are some of the best out there. They have a really interesting look to them, which I guess is why not a lot of people use them. Because a lot of people, at least they've told me, they don't look like they'd be comfortable, but they're some of the most comfortable mice to use that I've ever used. And this is their Pro S, which they came out with a Pro X and a Pro S. And this is the Pro S. The Pro S is sort of just like the, you know, kind of, I wouldn't say entry level, but kind of like their mid-range mouse. And it's made specifically made for tournament play. So if you're playing a lot, it's extremely light. It's one of the most, like, it's the lightest mouse I've used in a while. So it's very, very light, which is kind of weird to get used to. But once you get used to it, it's perfect. So it really takes a little bit while to get used to, but it has the same fit and finish of a lot of the rat mice. Just a great overall design. The palm rest is adjustable, so you can move it out to fit your hand. You can actually put it at an angle too, if you, you know, prefer that. It's just a good mouse. 8 programmable buttons, the software works great. And what's great about it is, the software is used to, obviously, you know, you can bank macros, you can do all that, but everything is saved on the mouse. So if I go to a tournament and I can just plug this into the PC there, I don't have to download any software, I don't have to worry about anything. It's all saved on the mouse itself. Which is really nice. Cool. It's just really great. It's a 5,000 DPI optical sensor.
More than you actually need.
It's just a great mouse, and it's $70, which I feel is pretty good price on this. If you're a person who hasn't used one of these mice, if you have the ability to go to a store like a Micro Center or something like that, or a Fry's, where you can actually test one of these, go ahead and test it, because these have, while they look weird, they have a great feel once you use them, and they're one of the only mice that have a dedicated thumb rest, which I really, really like. Your thumb just sits right on it, and it makes gliding with the mouse a lot easier. Obviously, it takes less. The mouse is really light, and the fact that it has a thumb rest, so you have less fatigue if you're playing for a very long time. I use this mouse. I played a ton of Payday with this, Payday 2, like hours, and I wasn't like, I got annoyed by the mouse or anything like that. It's just a really good mouse, so. Can't say anything bad about it. So all three products we reviewed this week were really, really good. Definitely take a look at that mouse if you're looking for a new gaming mouse. Especially, I would say this is, you know, if you're a MOBA gamer or an FPS gamer, this would definitely be a good mouse for you. So
something you need to be really twitchy with.
Yeah, it's just it has that good feel, and there's 8 programmable buttons, but it's not a whole lot of buttons. So it can be used for MOBA, it can be used for FPS. A lot. So, I did a article this week too, which I had been meaning to do. 25 stocking stuffers for every tech lover, and the way I kind of did this article is I did 5 different sections with 5 different products. In the different sections, one was hardware geek, one was the gamer, one was connected home and music lover, one was mobile user, and one was the media lover. So.
Nice.
5 products in each one. I'm not going to go over all of the products, but obviously, like, for the hardware geek, I did a new SSD as a stocking stuffer, because that's one of the things that will totally, you'll definitely see a difference in speed when it comes to, and if you're going from a hard drive to an SSD, and SSDs are at a price right now, especially there's so many deals going on, that you can get an SSD for under $100 that can speed up somebody's system for sure.
If you're not running a solid state drive right now, you're slacking.
For the gamer, I did put a graphics card in there, but I mean, I know it's typically not a stocking stuffer, but I did put the GTX 970 because I feel that's the best bang for your buck right now. For a graphics card. And then also on the gamer, I did put this mouse, the Rap Pro S, and I also put the Kingston HyperX Cloud 2 gaming headset, which I reviewed like in January, and I still use it. Like it's on my head right now.
Nice.
That's the best gaming headset that I've used in the past year, so I definitely put that. And one thing about this article, if you guys are checking it out, I would say 90% of the products are products we reviewed. So we're not making this list up just because, you know, this is stuff that we use and we've tested. And we actually linked all the reviews in the article too. So it's a lot of that. So for connected home or for music and connected home, I obviously put those Audiofly AF78 in your headphones. If you listen to the podcast over the past couple months, we reviewed almost all of Audiofly's in your headphones, and the AF78s are like breathtaking. Like they're amazing. And as far as connected home, I put your D-Link camera in there that you reviewed what, 2 weeks ago, I think.
Two, three.
And then we reviewed a couple D-Link Smart products we put in there too, because they're very inexpensive and they give you the ability to kind of, the smart plug gives you the ability to kind of make your devices smart. And the Wi-Fi audio extender, obviously it's a Wi-Fi extender, but it gives you audio as well. So if you have a home theater that obviously you want to say maybe stream like Pandora with, you can actually have your phone on you and you can stream it to your home theater with this device. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's really cool.
That was music and connected home. And mobile user, we talked about it last week, I think, was the InStream Septimus B seven port USB charger, which you bought one for your dad, you say?
Yeah, I went and bought one right away. They're like $13 right now.
Yeah, if you go to their website, you get a code, they're like $13, 7-port USB power charger. That's on there. I did the TechArmor Active Power mobile power bank because it comes with 2-year warranty and most of them don't. That one's really cool because it's 12,000 milliwatt amp hour battery and it's the size of a hockey puck. And I did the Divoom Voombox Travel, which I reviewed earlier this year, I think in March. And it's a little travel Bluetooth speaker, it has great fit and finish. It's water resistant. It's made to kind of resist the elements, and I think that's great for somebody who's on the go a lot. So, and then finally, we have the Media Lover. This is somebody who loves to stream or, you know, likes to watch movies. So obviously the first thing was the Amazon Fire TV Stick, which I use every day for the most part. And I actually bought one for my parents for Christmas. So and that's great because you can not only play Amazon media, but obviously Netflix, Hulu, HBO Go, and I think it's $30 or $40.
Black Friday,
I think they were $20 or something. I got mine. When they first announced this, if you pre-ordered it, it was $20. Between $20 and $40 for a device that you can stream Netflix, you can do all that kind of stuff. There's games that you can play on it. It's a cool little device. It takes up no room at all because it's like an HDMI stick. And I had the NZXT Doko on there, which allows you to stream from your PC, which is great. I use that to watch hockey because I don't have cable, but I have the NHL Game Center Live, and it just looks so much better on a PC than on one of the apps. So I use that a lot. Yeah. Seagate Personal Cloud 2, or Personal Cloud 2-Bay NAS. The reason I picked this one is because it's extremely easy to set up, and they come preloaded with hard drives, so you don't have to worry about that. So for the typical consumer, that's really good. And then I obviously picked an Amazon Prime, Amazon Hulu, or Netflix subscription, because for the media lover, those are perfect gifts, because that's what I did with my parents. I'm getting them a 1-year Netflix subscription with that, with the Amazon Fire TV Stick.
Oh, nice. I didn't know you could do it in like 1 year. I always
you
monthly.
Can like pre-buy it out or whatever for a specific time.
Nice. What did that cost?
$100 something.
Oh, okay. Kind of like almost as much, or is it about the same as Prime?
But Prime's a completely different thing. I think if you're looking for it, it all depends on what you're looking for, but obviously with Prime, you get free 2-day shipping on everything.
But you also get their media.
You get their media, and then there's a lot of other things with Prime, too. You get unlimited photo storage. you know, there's a lot of things that you get with a Prime membership. So if you're looking for movies, plus if you order a lot of stuff from Amazon, Prime might be the way to go, because I think Prime's $100, and it's free two-day shipping on a lot of products. And that, obviously, like, I just ordered stuff a couple days ago for Christmas for my family, and I know I'll get it all because it's all Prime. And I
you do every time.
It should come today, actually. It might actually come while we're doing the podcast. I don't know. But
during the holidays, I've been getting Sunday shipments even. So, yeah, Prime is it's kind of a lot to just spend, but it's a
I order pretty much everything on Amazon, except for food, because you know, you like an assortment of food. But, like, I mean, I'll order, like, toilet paper and certain things on Amazon because it's free 2-day shipping. It's usually cheaper than going to the store. And, you know, and the thing is, too, is I order a bunch of other stuff. Like, anytime I need something, I'll just, like, I needed, like, Drano the other day for, like, my shower was, like, getting, like, backed up a little bit, you know? And I was, like, researching what the best thing was, and Drano, I was like, okay. And then I ordered it, and it came here in 2 days. Yeah.
You ordered it from Prime? That's funny. But it doesn't matter, though. Like, normally, you'd question whether it's worth it because you got to pay shipping on it or whatever. But when you got Prime, it's just a free 2-day. Send it.
So definitely would recommend Prime. Yeah.
If you don't have that, that's a great, great Christmas thing, even to get for yourself.
The thing is, it's all year. You know, it renews once a year. It's the way to go. So,
agree.
So, yeah. So we'll move on from that article, which I actually had a lot of fun writing, to Case Mod Friday, which is today, since today is Friday. And Case Mod Friday is a section of the site where we cover a case mod or build that we find in the community that we really love. And I would say this one has to be probably, as far as hardware, the most expensive build of the year. Maybe. I can't remember.
No, by far. We haven't done one that's even
this
close.
This is, I would say, the big boy. This, I found it on a site that is not, it's all Chinese. So I'm pretty sure the name of the build is called Golden Matrix, but I could be wrong. But I'm pretty sure that's what it's called.
I just Google Translate. Just translate.
Yeah, it will did translate. No, it did translate it for me, but he doesn't say the name of the build in it.
Yeah, you're right.
So I'm pretty sure the person, I have no clue what their name is, because their name on the form is 212121.
I think it's just 2121.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's sorry. Too early for me right now. But so this is a massive build in a Case Labs TH10A, which is a very, very large case. And this is an X99 build, and it's a 5960X $1,000 processor. And they have four EVGA G6 Titan X's in there.
And their Hydro Copper, which is the pre-installed block
on them. Custom water cooling loop. Really great water cooling, in the fact that I just love he used gold tubing. I don't know. It's not real gold, but I mean the color is gold.
It's brass tubing with gold plate.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. He made the case has two sections. It has a bottom section and the top section where the motherboard is. And he made these custom plates that go between them that light up and have this really cool, like...
Yeah.
Again, this is called Golden Matrix, so it has this, like, really cool logo. And where the water cooling tubes go down through is kind of lit up. And it's I haven't seen something like that before, so I thought that was super cool.
No. Yeah, it's just acrylic plates with this... It's like a plastic printout. That and then they're backlit with LEDs, the acrylic is, and so that then the light shines through in different colors through his printout, his gold matrix printout, and that's what, there was crazy looking design.
Yeah, it's 2 1600-watt power supplies in there.
I was about to say it is probably a little bit overkill, but I've seen that used before though too with this.
Yeah, it's just
seriously, when you go with quad SLI and on an X99 platform with a chip like that, and you start overclocking, it's amazing how much power you actually start to draw.
Yeah, I mean, that processor draws a lot of power, especially if you're overclocking. And with the four Titan X's in there, I mean, it's just a crazy...
If he's doing anything less than, like, I don't know, like, 4K surround. This is just like so overkill.
I really like the he used the Bits Power fittings between the graphics cards, which are gold too, black and gold, which I think is really cool looking.
Yeah, it's because we've seen gold builds before, right? But like this is like the most subtle gold on black, and it looks really good.
The fit and finish of the whole build, it's really cool.
Yeah. He doesn't like the outside of the case is completely gold, so that's a little bit over the top, I guess. But inside, it's just like these little subtle. It's not like gold paint on stuff. It's just gold.
Yeah, it's really good. And I like this one. I wish I knew more about the person that built it, but this is not. And Google Translate only does so much. You know what I mean? It's a really great build. A really hardcore build as far as the amount of hardware that's inside is just out of control.
Yeah.
It's not often you see four tight nexus in a system, and this is pretty crazy.
And well put together.
So, definitely an awesome build. As I always say, we have a full section of mods in Case Mod Friday. We do it every Friday, so there are quite a lot in there. And I guess we're getting to the end of the year. We'll be doing our top builds of the year that we featured, which is going to be pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely pretty excited for that. For sure. So
what's in the news, Bob?
Well, there's not a whole lot of news this week, but there was some cool stuff, and I really like that every week we're having some news from AMD on what's coming up or what they have going on. I think since I forget the guy's name that took over the Radeon unit of AMD, ever since then we've gotten these announcements. We've gotten things that are being worked on. It's like we have progress now. For AMD, this week they announced GPU Open, which is going to be a lot like NVIDIA GameWorks. So it is going to be a pre-developed set of visual effects tools, libraries, and SDKs for game developers. So they're pre-built things, so it's easier for if you're a developer, you can use these different things to help build your game. And the thing is, they're going to perform the best on AMD hardware. And this is a big thing for AMD in the fact that they own the console market. So you'll see a lot of these titles use this because it's going to perform better on a PS4 and an Xbox. So obviously PC too. But this is a big thing for them. And it's called GPU Open because it's going to be all open source. So if I want to create a game myself, I can just go and download these tools and use them in whatever my project or whatever it may be. These tools will be available as early as January of 2016. It's just again, it's these things that I just like to see. It's like while, you know, right now we're kind of at a standstill with hardware. We're not going to see anything till probably closer to the middle or end of 2016, but to see that they're working on certain things and they're announcing them and they're talking about them is a big change from AMD. It's a very, very big change. Obviously, redoing the Radeon software, like all this kind of stuff, I really like that AMD is doing this.
Seems like they're just trying to reinvent themselves and be more transparent and really, like, get the community involved, so it's not just like, well, what are they doing? We have no idea. It'll probably suck. Yeah. It just gets you involved and
I think
helps you, look forward to things.
It makes them accountable, right? So just like how we talk about what we have coming up next week, say that we didn't really say that. Yep. I'd be like, oh, I don't feel like doing it this week. I'll do it next week. You know what I mean? Like, like going to the gym with a buddy. Like, you're accountable because your buddy's there.
Yep.
So, like, this is like, or if I talk about something, like, I have a blog. Like, I talk about something I want to do on my blog. I usually do it because I've already talked about it. You know what I mean? So, they're talking about it. They have to follow through on these goals that they have because it's out there now. And I think that's a great thing. And I think it's a good way to not only get people interested about AMD, but keep themselves accountable for these features and these things that they're going to be doing. So, and it's going to be cool. So I think we'll see a lot of games use this stuff. And I think we'll see that war between NVIDIA and AMD on, okay, which one uses GPU Open, which one uses NVIDIA GameWorks,
I just hope that it doesn't lead to, like, obviously crippling any games for the other type
of card. I mean, the GameWorks games, they run fine on NVIDIA, or they run fine on AMD hardware.
Yeah, sometimes they don't play well at launch.
Yeah,
though,
that's the thing. So we'll have to see. But again, I just like the fact that AMD is actively working on things, or at least telling us about they're actively working on things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope, that's very positive.
So it is a good thing. And also another thing about AMD this week is that it looks like they've allowed or they've told their graphics card partners to launch 4 gigabyte versions of the R9 390.
Right.
So the R9 390 went with when it launched was 8 gigabytes of GDDR5, and now they're releasing the ones with 4 gigabytes to be a little bit more cost effective, you know.
Right. No. Am I correct if I'm wrong? But didn't the R9 290 have 4 gigabytes? So this is an R9 290 with a slight,
yeah, with a slight
speed bump.
Just to kind of get that a little bit more cost effective, you know.
Yeah. I don't see this as a smart move necessarily. I think that if anything, they should have just dropped the price.
Yeah.
The 8 gigabyte version.
I think there's just so many of those out there. You know, I think this is just another thing. Yeah. But, again, it's good because they're putting more pressure on NVIDIA, especially the GTX 970 and below with this price drop. And we saw a new player from XFX, from Power Color, and there should be more.
Yeah. The XFX box.
Yeah, I don't know.
that's a unique.
They're always like that. I don't know why they do that. But I guess that's going to sell, right? This just looks different, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
So we now have a 4 gigabyte version of the R9 390. So,
Do you think? Part of me thinks that maybe they just still had a surplus of R9 390s.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Talking about graphics, the new 3D Mark benchmark was shown off for the first time, and this is called Time Spy.
This is actually really cool.
I thought it was pretty badass. So it was shown off by Galaxy, which is a overseas graphics card manufacturer.
Chinese, right?
I believe so, yes. Who make some of the most awesome graphics cards. It's really sad that a lot of times we never get to see them over here in the United States. But they showed it off for the first time at an event they had over there, and it looks great. FutureMark says is that this will be 5 times more powerful or 5 times more GPU intensive than their FireStrike benchmark. And this will run, and it's set to run in 1080p, 1440p, and 4K. And it says that this should be available. FutureMark says they're going to launch quarter one of 2016 for the new version of 3D Mark. I'm not sure what it's going to be called. It might just be called 3D Mark, and you know, because the latest version is just called 3D Mark. So I think a lot of companies are just going to the thing where, like, we're tired of releasing, you know, different numbers. We're just going to call it this, and you'll get the newest version of whatever it may be. So no clue on how much it's going to be if you already have 3D Mark. If you can upgrade for cheap, we don't know anything about that yet. But the benchmark looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it really. I need to get back into benchmark.
Yeah, the benchmark looks really, really cool, and so
there's been a
and
few.
It is.
Like,
I didn't mention that it is a DirectX 12 benchmark, so you will need Windows 10 64-bit to run it.
Which is harsh.
Because really, Windows 10 is free. Well, yeah, actually, you should get it before it doesn't become free. Now that I think about it, you should probably install it soon.
Yeah.
You have it on your new laptop, right? Okay.
I do. Yeah, it's fine.
Because, like, the upgrade period is, like, I don't know, it's coming close, I think, to when you...
Yeah. But you've seen that figure, I'm sure, where, like, a super high percentage of Windows 7 users aren't upgrading.
Probably. I mean, Windows 7 is pretty solid. I just moved all of our test systems over to it. The last test system that was moved over was the our power supply and CPU cooler thing, and that was running Windows 7 for like the longest time, and
you got everything on.
Yeah, so I completely redid the system because I'm moving from the high end desktop for CPU coolers down to the 4770K, just because most people use that, and you know, you know, and the thing is, I was testing on X58, which is kind of outdated a little bit. So
Might be hot.
Yeah, it runs hot, but it's still, you know, so I want to give something that, one, so we can show installation on a lot of these CPU coolers on an 1150 board, you know? And like I said, it was just, it just made sense to do Windows 10 on it, so. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, should, especially for stuff like this.
So, yeah, pretty, pretty excited to see that benchmark. I'm sure we will get a copy from FutureMark, so we'll be able to test it.
Yeah. It just, I mean, and like from using all these benchmarks over the years, it is really cool how they integrated all the
The benchmark itself is sort of like in a museum, and they have like displays that these displays are actually scenes from their previous benchmarks, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's really, really, really neat. You think that they're actually going to be, like, running each of the old benchmarks within their display?
I'm not sure, but that would be pretty cool. We didn't really get to see that much. It was just kind of, you know, talked about, so we don't know. But it's obviously, when we hear more about it, we'll definitely let you guys know. And we have a good relationship with FutureMark, so we will definitely be using that benchmark whenever it becomes available. So, yes. Talking about processors... it looks like Skylake processors that are non-K will be allowed to be overclocked now. So over the past weekend, it was discovered that with a beta BIOS or, you know, a non-official BIOS, that they were able to bring a Core i3 6320 dual-core chip all the way up to 5 gigahertz. On air or
so 1.1 gigahertz. Yeah.
And then it looks like over, you know, as news started breaking out, these companies started to, you know, put these beta BIOSes on their own products, and it looks like an i3-6300 was brought up to 5.8 gigahertz. And actually this week ASRock officially announced that they have BIOSes now for all of their Z170 motherboards that and allow overclocking. So typically, if you don't know what we're talking about, when Intel releases a processor, like with Skylake, we have the i7-6700K and the i5-6600K, which the K means that they have an unlocked multiplier, which means that you can overclock them. Everything else, or a lot of the other ones in the product stack, are not overclockable. Well, it looks like the motherboard manufacturers have found a way with a BIOS update to enable them to be overclocked.
Which is through the BCLK. Yes.
So that kind of opens up a lot, because you can get a very low-end processor and overclock it quite high. And we've seen that in the past from Intel, that a lot of these small, you know, a lot of these lower processors are able to be overclocked. So with this, you have that, and ASRock was the first one to officially announce that almost all of their Z170 boards, now they have new versions of their BIOS, which will enable this overclocking. So if you happen to have a non-K series CPU, you can now overclock it just as you would a K series, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, which includes a lot of their dual core chips, which are actually incredibly overclockable. Like you can do some pretty crazy stuff with the dual cores.
That makes it nice for somebody who maybe not have had the money for, you know, a 6700K or something like that, that they can still you know, really boost the speed of their processor. You know,
I'm gonna go ahead and say that it's probably not as, there's never a guarantee in overclocking, but it's probably even less of a guarantee that you can get more of an overclock out of your chip. The numbers that you're seeing are obviously always just like the best that they can hit. Like that's with like having multiple chips to go through and like try it again and again and again. But you're still, that's pretty cool. You're going to be able to do some overclocking on a non-K. It's been how long? It's been years since the K thing was started, and it was limited to only certain chips. You used to be able to overclock anything you had.
So yeah, it's cool to see this. I believe MSI also announced it, but I'm not specifically sure. But I know ASRock for sure announced it, and they have a list of all their boards that have the new BIOSes. So If you do have it, go ahead and check with your motherboard manufacturer. They should have released a notice. Get the latest BIOS, and if you have it, go ahead and try it out. See what you can do.
Yeah.
Just don't kill your processor.
It does limit some things. When you do it, it turns off the onboard graphics, which are still linked to that same power ring, and the turbo and C state are disabled, but that if pretty much anybody that overclocks disables those anyways. Yeah,
so it's the first thing you do.
So we've gone
from PC stuff, and a pretty interesting story this week. I don't own a drone. Do you own a drone?
No. Never had a real big interest.
But drones are kind of cute. Cool, this holiday season, they said that 1 million drones will be sold in the United States, which is quite a lot. Yeah.
Really?
Like the FAA, or Federal Aviation Administration, they just announced a new requirement that requires owners of drones to register their aircraft with the federal government. If your drone is between 0.55 pounds and less than 55 pounds, and that means that's the weight limit, I guess, that they're doing, that you have to register that drone with the government. It will cost $5, and that includes, if you have 20 drones, it's just going to cost you $5. It's not per drone or anything like that.
So it's really just registering yourself as an operator?
Yeah, but the license you have to put either the license or something on the drone itself. They give you a sticker.
Sort of like registering
your car. You know, you get the sticker you have to put on there. It's the same thing. So you have to put that on your drone. What's crazy is if you don't register your drone, you can have a penalty.
Penalty up to $27,000
to $250,000, and possible jail time. But they are waiving the $5 fee up until January 20th. So if you are a current drone owner, just go there, register your drone, get it done. They'll mail you the sticker, and obviously put the sticker on there, and you're good to go. A lot of people,
I think it makes sense.
I think a lot of people freaked out because it's a government thing. But you know, the thing that is a big deal is that there's so many of these now. Operating, and we need some way to regulate it and kind of figure out how to.
Well, you just need to make people accountable for what they do with them.
Yeah, that's the thing too.
Right? So that's what this does. If you go like crash your drone into something, or you're spying on somebody with it, you've now tagged it and they can figure out who you are.
And that's a big thing. And because there's been, you know, I forget when it was, I forget where it was, but I think in some country, I think in Japan or something, a drone had some type of radioactive material landed on some important building over in Japan or something like that. Yeah, it was in the news. You know, things like that can happen, and obviously, like you said, spying on people or being where you shouldn't be with a drone.
In an actual active airspace.
Yeah, so this definitely does make you accountable. So I don't think it's bad, and a $5 cost is not a lot, and that registers you for 3 years, and you have to register again, just like your car or something like that. And obviously, a car is a lot more expensive. Cars, at least in Pennsylvania, it's $36, I think, or $38. But it's still, $5 and that covers every drone that you have. It's not bad, and again, that's waived if you register now. So, and I believe the website's live now.
I think it's good, and I don't think that's overreaching. They could have easily required a lot more.
Yeah. So go ahead, if you have a drone and it's within those requirements, go ahead and register it, and you won't have a problem. So, yes.
Cool.
And we'll talk about games. So we have two gaming articles this week, and one is pretty impressive. So Star Citizen, which has been around for a while now, just hit $100 million in crowdfunding. So Star Citizen is an interesting game. I've never really explored it that much or got into it. But
can you actually play it? Oh, I didn't realize it was actually any sort of a release yet. They are still building it,
but the thing is they're building it as it goes. So Star Citizen is sort of a space-type game created by the guy who created Wing Commander, Chris Roberts.
Right.
And right. It's in 2.0 alpha right now, but you can obviously play it. And what's cool about the game is it's not one specific type of game, right? So it's based in obviously a future, you know, space type setting, but
universe.
It's the cool is there's multiple parts of the game. So these parts of the game are called modules. So there's one that's like an FPS, you know, module. There's multiplayer dogfighting and spacecraft, and there's a story-driven single-player campaign. So this is pretty cool. So there's all these different modules. And you can buy a lot of in-game items, and that's where a lot of this crowdfunding has come from. And one guy actually spent $30,000 in the game, which is out of control.
That's just ridiculous. I mean, unless you got that
this
money.
This is the first game to ever hit $100 million in crowdfunding.
Is it the first? That's got to be, like, a record just for funding.
Yeah, but I think a lot of games do make a good amount of money, especially when it comes to in-game purchases, which you don't really see as part of the sales of the game, you know?
Yeah, I just mean, like as far as, like, game cost to build, like, what? I guess I don't really know.
I mean, some games...
But, like, that seems like an awful lot of money for a game.
Yeah, you know...
Or is that not crazy? I could see like 5-6 million to build a game.
Yeah,
but...
what happened with Star Citizen, it became so popular as far as the funding went, especially on they started with a Kickstarter to raise a little bit of money, and then that was so popular they continued the funding on their website, and now especially with like the story mode, they've added pretty well-known actors for voice actors and things like that in the game, and they've added a lot of things. And obviously, you can buy, much like you could in Second Life, like you can buy, you know, your own spaceship and certain things, and then people are really into it. You know what I mean? So
people are more into it than their actual life.
Yeah. So I have actually never played this game. I wouldn't mind.
Right.
Testing it out. Like, you know, I wouldn't mind just trying it out to play it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the site right now, and I'm like,
yeah, there's a lot to this game. So we saw it being played last year. I saw it being played last year at CES a lot. We'll see, you know, how the game goes along. Obviously, it has a huge fan base for that amount of money to be put into it.
Crazy. So, yeah. No, this is like one. I do know this is one of the most anticipated games.
Yeah, and it's like, there's many parts of the game that are playable right now. So, you know, that's kind of nice too. So they're not just taking the money and not releasing something, which we see that a lot. So at least parts of the games are playable. Obviously, you can buy your own spacecraft and things like that too. So, but it's just the $100 million mark is just pretty impressive. I don't know, for a game, especially for a crowdfunded game, that's just awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. And good for them, I mean.
Yeah.
Hopefully they do. I mean, like, these universe-type games like this have been attempted so many times, but they usually don't, some part of it doesn't come together well, and they usually don't succeed, or they're not thorough enough, and then they just kind of, like,
so
disappear.
I think they're doing a good job. I think that we'll see over time how far they get. I mean, it's in 2.0 alpha right now, but it is playable, which we'll talk about another game that I've been following since it's been announced. I'm not a huge Tom Clancy, I believe it's Tom Clancy, right? Yes. Think about that for a second. I'm not a huge fan, but once I saw this at E3, and then I saw that it was actually going to be made for PC, I don't think it's going to be specifically, it's not made for PC, but it's going to come out on PC.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about it because there's a lot of different things about this game that I really liked. The game is called The Division. It had been announced at E3 2013. It got pushed back, and it's going to come out in 2016 in March, hopefully. And they released a really cool live-action trailer, which you don't see that often for games.
No.
So they released a live-action trailer, and I have to say, it's pretty awesome. I don't know if you got the chance to watch it.
I did.
It is pretty cool for a game. And I think that this game is going to be a big deal for them.
It's kind of hardcore.
And that the fact that they're doing stuff like this gives the game more of a story, and I love when you see stuff like this. It's really cool.
Gives it a real feel.
Yeah, it gives you like kind of, it gives you a more personal feel with the game, I think. And it's great to see them do that. We have the video on the website if you want to check it out. It's just a really cool video. And it's holiday themed, sort of. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, so nice. The game will be coming out March 2016 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Hopefully the PC version is good because I would really like to play it. So
yeah.
And I'm already signed up for the beta. You can actually sign up for the beta, too, on the website. So,
Lots of hype building around that one.
I'm excited for that one. I don't get really excited about a lot of PC games these days, but that's one I'm excited for. So that is the news for the week. A little bit of slow news week. It is the week before Christmas, so
yeah, not
a whole lot of stuff. But
most people just focused on selling stuff.
So. As far as next week goes, we have some reviews coming up. So I will be completing my review of the MSI Z170A SLI motherboard. Really great, solid Z170 motherboard. I'm doing my overclocking testing today. So it should be a decent overclocker. Pretty pumped about that. We talked about CPU coolers. I'll be reviewing the Sith Ninja 4, which is one of the bigger CPU coolers from Sith, and it is a big cooler. So from what I've heard, this compares to a lot of the larger Noctua coolers, so I'm excited to test it and see how it does. And then I'll be taking a look at a pretty cool product, the Elgato Game Capture HD60, which this is a game an external game capture device a lot of times used with consoles, so Xbox, PlayStation 4, but we'll be using it with Steam Machine to record some pretty cool videos, and just see how it works, because the Steam Machine, unless you're like a wizard in Linux, you really can't get it to record or stream, which is kind of when I wrote my review of it, it's kind of a downfall of the whole thing. So Elgato was nice enough to send us one of these over, not only so we can do that, but we'll obviously be reviewing the product as well. So have that, and the Cooler Master V700. I don't know why I have V750 in the notes, but it is the V. I believe it's V700. Oh no, it is a V. No, it is. Yes, yeah, I have it sitting here. It's a V750. So it's the 750 watt version of their V series power supply, and that's 80 plus gold certified power supply, all modular. And this power supply is pretty cool because it is it's pretty small. It's compact for its size, which is nice. Which means a lot of times when you have smaller cases that do support a full-size power supply, a lot of times when there's modular cables and things like that, it gets kind of tight. So this power supply is a little bit shorter than most power supplies, which is nice. That's what we have coming next week. We might have some more stuff. Obviously, next week is Christmas, so you know, it gets kind of busy with family stuff and all of that, so
should have the next WarGaming 101 article.
We possibly might have that done as well. It's going to be a busy time coming up. Next couple weeks, going
to
be
lots of reviews to be done
before we leave for Vegas in January, first week of January. So a lot of stuff going on the next couple weeks. Definitely stay tuned, and we will definitely try to keep you guys updated on everything. I know the big thing you did this week was see Star Wars, which I really don't want to talk about because I haven't seen it yet, and I'm not gonna see it till Monday.
Bob's like ruining me. But
did you like it?
It was an amazing movie.
That's all we can talk about.
Yeah, I'm extremely sad.
Did you do anything else besides? Now, here's your story with Star Wars: is that your theater where you live doesn't have reserved seating, so you went there and you waited in line for how long?
I got there at 2:30 and it started at 7, so four and a half hours.
You said that some people were there since 6 in the morning.
Yeah, somebody got there at 6:30 before the theater was even actually open. So yeah, that seems a little excessive. I don't know. I probably didn't need to be there that early. But especially since I was sitting there and wound up in a bad situation anyways, which actually didn't end up mattering once the movie got started,
but really, you know. But It's kind of cool doing stuff like that. I've been to a couple like midnight releases of games, especially like back in the day. Like I remember Halo 2, Gears of War. You know, you stayed up late and you went to the midnight release at GameStop or whatever it may be.
Do they still do that?
I believe so, yeah.
But do people still line up like they used to? They do.
But what's crazy is, you know, with Amazon now, a lot of times, what's crazy is sometimes with Amazon, you'll pre-order the game through Amazon, and you'll get it a day before it comes out. You know?
or you just buy it digitally, and then you don't go wait in line.
Yeah, but I mean, with a lot of console games, that's, you know... Yeah.
Right, that's not possible.
Yeah, sure. I think you kind of just feel cool. Not only feel cool, but like it's just a cool atmosphere a lot of times.
It's fun to, like last night, it was fun to be around all these other people that have like the exact same interest, you know, and they're there that early with you, so like they're at the same level of interest as you too, you know. So it is really cool. It's cool to be in the community that you kind of are a part of, even though you don't realize it.
Did you do anything else this past week besides that?
No, I listened to season 2, episode 1 of Serial.
You were talking about that.
Just that podcast we talked about. So that's actually really good too. I finished season 1. That was amazing. And season 2 started, which is about, Bo Bergdahl, the U.S. Army desertee that Obama, negotiated to get back. That was in the news a little while ago. And so like there's a bunch of controversy there. So that seems pretty cool so far. How about you? You doing anything?
I played the new map on Payday. There's a holiday map, which is a lot of fun.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think of anything else.
You know, I think this is funny, though, Bob. You give me so much crap about playing Battlefield 4 nonstop, but all you ever seem to play is Payday 2.
But it's a lot of fun. But it's not as old as Battlefield 4 either, I don't think.
No.
No, it's not.
Older. It's got to be.
I'm going to Google this right now.
Do it. I mean, at the very... The graphics are, like, way worse.
Payday 2 release date. Oh, man. You're right. Sheesh.
When was it released? 1997? Oh, boy.
August 13th, 2013. Battlefield 4. Oh, October 29th. You're right. I don't know. Well, the thing about... That I like about Payday is that
they always update it.
There's always updates. There's always new maps. There's always new DLC.
Yeah, there was just another free DLC update to Battlefield 4.
I like Battlefield 4. I really did enjoy playing that game. I think Battlefield 3 especially kind of changed the game for Battlefield games. And Battlefield 4.
Oh yeah.
You know,
Battlefield 4 was just a continuation.
Yeah. So those games.
Slightly improved graphics.
I thought about getting Star Wars last night, the game. No, I don't want to be stuck playing a game. I think we have so much to do before going to CES, and I have so much stuff to get done, and we have a lot of, you know, I've been trying to get all these things done, you know, because I know I'm going to be away, and we're going to be so busy, and it's just like, if I get into that, it's just going to not be good for me.
Yeah. There's been a lot of negative press about that game.
Yeah, I'm still gonna. I liked the beta, so I'm definitely gonna get it. I don't know when.
A couple years from now,
come back from CS, I think. but yeah, so that's basically it for my week. I didn't really do. I mean, it's just a lot of work getting stuff done. A lot of videos coming out. A lot of unboxing videos and stuff that I've gotten done this week too. So. A lot of cool reviews coming up. It's coming to the end of the year, so we'll be doing a lot of our end of year articles. So definitely stay tuned for that because those are some of the best. So if you're looking for, you know, you're doing the best AIO water cooling. I'm be doing the best case, and I think we're going to do the best mods that we featured. I think we're probably going to do 5 of the best mods on there. Gotcha. So yeah, I'm pretty pumped for the end of the year. It's kind of like crunch time right now, so it's pretty busy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not always all fun and games. It's a really fun industry we work in, but sometimes you got to do work.
So I like the work that we do. So so definitely stay tuned for all of that stuff, guys. As I always say, we are on iTunes. If you go to Think Computers, all one word. I need to do it this week. It was on my list of stuff to do. I didn't get it, but we'll actually be on Google Play coming up too. So you'll just be able to find us in Google Play. We're obviously on Android in general. There's some type of podcasting that we're on that you showed me the other day.
Yeah, I subscribe there.
And we also have an RSS feed just for the podcast, so you can go ahead and subscribe to that. And as always, we will have our show notes up on the website, so anything that we talk about, you want to know more about, or you want to read about, we'll have the links to everything that we talked about. And all of that, and definitely check out the 25 Stocking Stuffers article, because I put a lot of time into that, and I think there's a lot of good stuff on there. If you're looking for something that's not super expensive that you want to buy for, you know, that tech lover in your family, and I think I spread it out enough that even if they're not a gamer or something like that, it'll give them something that they'll definitely appreciate and they can definitely use. And most of the stuff on there is under $100, so definitely take a look at that. I definitely appreciate it. So I guess till next week, which will be what, the day after Christmas?
Yeah, no, it will be Christmas. Christmas is next Friday.
I don't know if I'll be able to podcast. Now that I think about it, we'll talk about it. Might be the day after Christmas or the day before. We'll figure it out. But definitely stay tuned for next week, and we'll catch everybody later.